Hello. If you are tuning in to us for the first time, or maybe you haven't been tuning in many times before, then you are very welcome. My name is Mike. I'm one of the leaders here at Jubilee, and we're delighted to have you join us. I want to ask everybody, actually, how are you? This is a time when it's very likely, probably, that you, like I am, are feeling a whole number of different emotions, maybe all mixed up on different days, maybe a bit of anxiety, maybe even a bit of fear, actually, mixed in if you're on the vulnerable list, or maybe a member of your family's in hospital, or your job's on the line, you're not quite sure about your finances. Maybe a bit of frustration too, maybe even a little bit of anger. That wouldn't be surprising. If things aren't going the way that you think they should do, people aren't doing things quickly enough, maybe you're not getting the finances that you need to survive soon enough. Maybe you're feeling sad. Maybe one of your family's in hospital, or maybe you've even lost somebody and know somebody who's close to you who's ill or gone. And it's possible even that you might feel a bit of guilt if you feel you should have done something for somebody, or you should be somewhere with somebody, or you should have said something even to somebody, particularly if you've lost someone. All sorts of emotions could be swirling around at the moment. And I will want to come back to maybe talking about how we can cope with some of those a bit later on. But I want to introduce something in the Bible that's really very helpful to people at times of stress and when emotions are running high, and that is in the Psalms. They're full of stories of when people are feeling very low, when they're feeling very angry, when they're feeling very afraid. King David seemed to go through the whole lot of emotions and wrote some amazing Psalms. And we're going through a series in the Psalms at the moment, the last 2 weeks. Our leader Dave has spoken from Psalm 19. And last week, if you were listening, you'll remember that he talked about how the Bible, the Word of God, is such a great help. And he was talking about how we can spend time getting into the Word of God. And he gave a bit of a challenge to us last week, if you remember that, if you were here. I wonder how you did with the challenge. It was to put your favourite verse in a picture or a mural or in some sort of way that shows it, that you can take a photograph of and put on Facebook. I wonder if you had a go at that. My favourite verse at the moment, it seems to change a lot, is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. And it's where Jesus is looking at a crowd of people and they're all up and down, and he's looking at them and he's seeing that they are, it describes it as harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus has compassion on them. And it's like today, just as we are perhaps feeling helpless in the face of what's going on in the world at the moment, harassed, financial pressures and other things, God is the one who has compassion for us. And he is amazingly kind in that he gives compassion to his people. If you come to this church week by week, you and I can be given superb compassion by God for people. And it motivates us to be like Jesus. And if you feel that compassion for people, then don't hesitate to reach out to your neighbours, your family, friends in the church who you think might be a bit lonely perhaps, who you haven't heard from for a little while. And if you feel that you need someone to speak to, somebody who can show you some compassion, then don't hesitate to reach out to us in the church or your neighbours. And there are plenty of help groups. There's an amazing help group that Dave was talking about just now that is run from the church here. So do reach out if that's speaking to you. And I would like to point you to a talk that was done last week by the leader of Welcome Church in Woking, Steve Petch. He spoke on anxiety and fear. And if those are things that you're struggling with at the moment, then I would be very happy, would be delighted if you tuned in to that message on the Welcome Church website. Don't hesitate to do that. We'll be very pleased if you could use that resource. I'm going to turn to the psalm that I want to use this evening. It's Psalm 24, and I'm just going to read it on my iPad here. And you'll notice in the first few verses, it talks about those who have clean hands, which is very topical at the moment. And I want to reassure you that I cleaned my hands when I came into the building just now, and I'll clean them when I go out and when I go home again later on. See if you can spot it as I read it through. I'm reading it from today's NIV Bible. So Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure heart, who do not put their trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O Lord God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. It's a good psalm, isn't it? Had some big words in it, but that seemed the best version to me to read out tonight. And I'm going to explain why I chose that in a little while. But first of all, I want to just tell you what my aims are as I speak this evening. My aim is twofold. And the first one is to encourage you to cope. And I'll mention the other one in a moment. If you're finding it really hard at the moment and you're just coping, or maybe you're not coping, then like I said, reach out to somebody. It would be so sad if you were trying to go through this on your own and you found you just couldn't cope. Let's help each other in these difficult times. And I just want to give you a telephone number. Here it is. It's a local number, 228882. It's our church office number. And maybe you've seen it on leaflets or you've seen it on notices, but if you would like someone to phone you to chat, or you'd like a delivery of food or someone to help you get prescriptions from the chemist, then that's a good place to start, our church office. If you are finding it a little bit hard to cope, but you are coping, you'll know that the government's advising everybody to get out and do a bit of exercise. And keeping active is such a useful thing in these difficult times. Taking exercise or doing stuff around the house. My wife has started painting the house from top to bottom. She's painted the front step twice. She's painted a set of doors twice, and I have a feeling she's going to move around the whole house and paint all the woodwork in it. Our next door neighbour was seen painting his front door earlier today. And back in February, when we had those big storms, a massive tree fell on our shed and half demolished it. And happily, the insurance company said that they're going to give me a new shed. So I'm going to be spending lots of time sorting out all the stuff in my shed, moving it out, waiting for it to be rebuilt, and then getting it back in again. So I'm going to be quite busy. I could have had a challenge like Dave had last week about that, actually, what your exercise is. But I'm going to give you another challenge, because in these times when we are spending a lot of our time at home, inside, we'll be reading books probably, maybe playing games with the family, and probably watching films. Wouldn't surprise me at all. And so my challenge, it's not really much of a challenge, it's a suggestion, is that you decide what your favourite film is, maybe what your favourite book is, maybe what your favourite game is, or all three, and you just pop them on the church family Facebook. And if you're not a member of our church and you just happen to be watching, then why not do that with a friend or a family member and phone up somebody and just chat about it? It's quite good to swap ideas. And I'm going to put something on our family, church family Facebook, and then invite you to put your favourite things down there. So have a go. I don't know about you, but, films. Until recently, I never used to watch a film twice. I used to just like to watch lots of different films. But I've found that just recently, I've got a few favourite films that I'm happy to watch again and again. I'm not going to tell you what my favourite film is, but my favourite film I've watched at least 5 times. I love it for the humour of it, the story, the words in it, the way it all goes together. And I love it. It's a kind of comfortable feeling, actually, watching something that's familiar to you, like a film that you know well. You can sing along to it if it's a musical, that kind of thing. It's a bit like holidays in a way, isn't it? If you're like me, you've lived in lots of different places. My dad was in the army and I moved around the world a lot. And then I joined the army and I moved around the world some more. So my holidays tended to be in different places because I had the opportunity. But occasionally, we've gone back to the same place, my wife and I and our children. And there is something really nice in going back to a place that you've been on holiday before. You don't have to take photos the second time round. You've done that in the first time. You can just relax and have a nice holiday. Well, obviously, we can't take holidays right now, but we can take a journey, and I'm going to suggest that we can take a journey into God. People talk about God having a massive heart, and we can take a journey into his heart, if that's the kind of language that appeals to you. There are various places it talks about things like this in the Bible. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are burdened and heavily laden, and I will give you rest." And in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Come to God and he will come close to you." God is like that. He invites us to take a journey into him. And if you're wondering how, then it's fairly simple, really. You pray, you talk to him, you get to know him. And I actually want to pray now about that. And then I'll carry on. So pray with me if you like. Lord God, I thank you for the fact that you invite us to come to you, and you say that you step forward to meet us when we do that, because your heart is to have a relationship with us. Lord, please help us to pray to you and come towards you. In Jesus' name, amen. And another way we can come close to God is through the Bible. The Bible talks about the Word, and Dave was talking about that last week if you were listening. And I just want to explain one particular way of reading the Bible. And if you're a member of our church, you've heard me talking about it quite a few times in the past, I expect. It's called the Bible in a Year, where you go through the Bible in a year and you read the whole thing, all 66 books of it. Not necessarily starting at the beginning and going to the end, dotting around doing different bits. And there are loads of different Bibles in a year. Available online. You can get them in bookshops, you can get them on Amazon, you can get them sent to you. And it works like this. There is a set of readings from different parts of the Bible each day, and you just go through the year. When you get to a particular day, you just read the bits that are identified for that day, and by the end of the year, you've read the whole lot. It's amazing. In a way, it's like visiting old holiday haunts, because when you do a Bible in a year, you find yourself reading things that you might have read a long time ago, but you've kind of forgotten about. But it's wonderful to read them again. Oh, 7 o'clock, fireworks are going off outside. And it gives a way to be structural and purposeful in your reading of the Bible. I use a thing called the YouVersion. I'm just going to show you on my iPad a quick photo of it, which I took earlier today, and it is very good indeed. The one that I use is actually by Nicky Gumbel, and here we go. How's that? Can you see that okay? You can see a little symbol at the top, and I downloaded this app from the internet, from the App Store, and it's got lots of different Bibles in a year on it. It's marvellous. Like I said, the one that I use and my wife uses is one that Nicky Gumbel, the leader of the church, HTB in London, uses, and it's brilliant. I'm going to mention that a little bit more later on. All I need to say now is that when you're going through the Bible in a year, all you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you as you're going through it, and it changes from being like, I've got to do this today, I've got to get through this passage, to being like having a conversation with God and listening to him talking. It's marvellous. Right, I'm going to come to the second aim that I have tonight, which is to encourage you to pursue a relationship with God. Someone said to me quite recently, if we go through all these troubles that we have at this present time and we don't end up closer to God, then we have wasted our time. It's quite strongly put, but I have a feeling that that's the case. And if you're listening, watching now, and you don't actually know about God, you're just wondering about him, or maybe you're a new Christian, you're trying to work all this out, then I'd suggest that this is a very good time, opportunity, if you're spending lots of time at home, to actually get to know God, to find out about him, and to maybe start to follow him, start to follow Jesus, his son, our saviour. And there are various resources. You can read the Bible. You can start at the beginning. It's probably not a brilliant place to start because it's really complicated. But starting at the beginning of the New Testament, some books written about Jesus' work, maybe even the book called Mark, is a really good place to start. There are lots of excellent books. There's one that I think is really good, and a really good church leader called... what's his name? I can't remember. Said this is the book that he gives to all his friends who are trying to find out about God and the Bible. The Reason for God, it's called. There's another one I've got on here, which is called Why Jesus. It's a very simple, small paperback. That's what it looks like. Very simple. But it talks about why Jesus is so important for us. Hope you can see that. There are lots of different ways to find out about God. So, if you fancy, take some time to do that. Now, it seems that a lot of people are feeling that God is calling his church, Christians, to holiness and purity at the moment. And something happened to me the other day that was remarkably, almost weird, that I want to tell you about. It was sort of miraculous and almost thinking, did this really happen? And it was this. I am working through the Bible in a year, as I said. And my wife is too. And she started on the 1st of January. And I started on the 4th of January. And I caught up with her so that we've been going day by day through the Bible in a year, reading sections of the Bible. Last Friday, almost a week ago, I was reading the verses for the day in the Old Testament, and I read from Numbers, which is the fourth book in the Old Testament, chapter 25, verse 9. It's a whole section about how the Israelites were preparing to go into the Promised Land. They were just across the River Jordan on the east bank, and they were waiting to go across. And they had started to form relationships with some of the women of one of the tribes who had been fighting them, the Midianites. And God was not pleased with them. In fact, he was so displeased that he started a plague amongst the Israelites as a punishment for them. And when I read that, I thought, my goodness, we've got something like that going on today, a plague which is killing people. And the story in the bit that I read went like this. A man was seen, one of the Israelite men was seen bringing a Midianite woman into the camp, right past the leaders of the Israelites, Moses and the others, and took her into his tent. And one of the priests, he was called Phinehas, he was the grandson of Aaron, was so upset and righteously angry about this, knowing how God didn't want this at all, that he took a sword and he went and he killed the man and the woman there and then in his tent. And he came out, and when that happened, God stopped the plague. Now, it's a pretty weird story if you're fresh to the Bible and you don't know about things in the Old Testament. But the thing that really amazed me was that the Bible records that 24,000 Israelites died in the plague that day. Now, I looked at this and I thought about it, and it suddenly occurred to me, I wonder how many people have died of coronavirus. And I thought, well, in England, it was probably about 1,000 by that time. I wonder how many people have died in the world of coronavirus. And I looked on the internet and I came to the World Health Organization's website and I looked at the number. And bearing in mind the Bible said 24,000 people had died, the number that I saw on the WHO website was 24,114. And even as I say that now, there's a kind of funny feeling that goes down my neck. Bearing in mind that I started looking at the Bible in a year on the 1st of January, and that I'd read and I'd got up, kept up to date, and I was reading this particular fact from Numbers on the very day that the same number of people had died worldwide from the plague that's recorded there. Now, that could be coincidence, couldn't it? But amazingly, the same thing had happened earlier that week. Let me tell you about that one. On the 23rd of March, the Monday, I was reading again in the Old Testament, and I was bang on time with the day, and so was my wife. And I read in Numbers 16, verse 49, that God was so angry with the Israelites for grumbling at what he was doing, what his plans were, the journey that he was taking them on, that he again started a plague in the middle of the Israelites. And Aaron, who was the chief priest, Moses' brother, saw it happening, and he grabbed a censer, which is a thing on a chain with a bowl with a lid on it in which they put burning coals. And he rushed into the middle of the gathering where all the people were dying. And he stood there in the midst of them and he held up the censer and he said, "No, Lord, stop. Stop this, Lord God. Please don't kill all your people." The Bible says that he stood there between the dead and the living. And God saw him and he heard him interceding for him. And he stopped the plague there and then. And the Bible records the number of people who died then as 14,700. And similarly to Friday, I thought, I wonder how many people have died in the world today. And I looked on the World Health Organization's website, and bearing in mind the number who died in the Bible were 14,700, on that day, in my reading of the Bible in a year, 14,510 people had died. Now, give or take a bit of time, on both those days, the Monday and the Friday, exactly the same number died worldwide as died in those plagues, in those two separate occasions in the book of Numbers in the Bible. Now, I don't know what you think about that. I'm still trying to get my head around it. I'm sure that God was speaking to me or just showing me something that he was wanting people to see. And I guess there are people elsewhere who have seen this. I don't know. But what really struck me was what it was that stopped the plague. In the first instance, the one on the Monday, it was Aaron standing and saying, "Lord, please stop this, what you're doing." And he interceded for the people. And he repented for their wrongdoing. He said sorry for their wrongdoing. And God heard him and stopped. On the Friday, in the other Numbers section, it was the righteous indignation and the zealous purity of Phinehas, Aaron's grandson, and in a way his holiness, that led God to stop the plague in that occasion. And I prayed about it, and I'm sure that that is what God is calling us to today. He's calling us, if you're a Christian, to purity. He wants us to purify ourselves. He wants us to become holy. He wants us to represent him, and he wants us to flow with power in a way that if we are involved in sin, if we're involved in doing things that displease him, if we're half-hearted about our faith, if we don't really believe that he exists even, but we're going through with it because we think it's the right thing to do, then we won't be flowing with power. We won't be getting in touch with God directly and powerfully when we pray, when we intercede, when we repent for our nation. And I am sure that God is calling us, Jubilee Church, the church nationwide, the church worldwide, to do these things now, at this occasion, at these times, whilst these terrible things are going on. And God hears. Remember that little verse that I read earlier from James? It says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. It goes on to say, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's what God wants. He wants us with clean hands, clean hearts, and then we will flow with power and we will pray with amazing results. I'm sure of it. And I would encourage everybody who's listening today, whether you know Jesus or not, to press into God, to seek God. If you know God, then to press in and really purify yourselves. Ask God to help you deal with your sin. And then your prayers will be so powerful. Jesus crackled with power. He was so full of the Holy Spirit. Then when a woman touched him who had been ill for years and years, power went out of him and she was healed instantly. And he said, who touched me? Power went out from me. I knew it. And she said, it was me. He said, you're healed. Your faith has made you whole. That's what God wants us to be like. Full of power. And the way we do that is to press into him and to seek purity. Luke chapter 9, which is one of the ones that I've just read in Bible in the Year, talks about the authority that was given to the apostles by Jesus to go out and do amazing things. God has called us to be a kingdom of priests. He's called us to be powerful, representing him as princes and princesses in the kingdom, and representing the world to him, interceding for the world as priests. And he's given us authority to do that. So take up your authority, I urge you, and get praying, get seeking purity. I think that I'll finish there. I was going to read out some more from the Psalms. But I just want to pray for us now, and pray that God will help us to really want with a passion to be clean and pure and useful for him. So let me pray, and I'm going to pray for you if you're watching and you don't know Jesus yet as well. Lord God, at these terrible times when there is so much suffering, so much fear, so much anxiety, so much uncertainty, would you help your people, please, Lord God, to draw near to you and to be powerful in our prayers. Lord, hear us. Call us to you, Lord God, to intercede for our world, for our nation, for our families, for our locality, for our friends, for people who are suffering. Lord God, please enervate us. Give us your energy to pray, to seek to be righteous, and to do what you called us to do, Lord God, which is represent a hurting world to you and ask for your forgiveness and your healing, and to bring relief and peace to people who are struggling at this time. Lord, help us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.